It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last month's shootings at an Orlando nightclub reignited the debate over gun control. Here in the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania remains one of 13 states that conduct their own background checks, and supporters of that system say the state background checks can be more thorough than the national system. Some state legislators, however, say money can be saved by scrapping the taxpayer-subsidized state background checks. But would it reduce public safety? Reporter Jeffrey Benzing of our content partner Public Source has looked into this and joins us now in studio to share what he learned. Good day, Jeffrey.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh at wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. Should the state of Pennsylvania conduct background checks on gun buyers at taxpayers' expense, or is relying on a federal system already in place a better idea? Again, the number, 412-246-2002. We want to hear you on this. We know a lot of people have opinions about it. Jeffrey Benzing, you reported that U.S. Attorney Loretta Lynch expressed, quote, profound gratitude, end quote, for the 13 states that conduct their own background checks, specifically saying that they can be more thorough than the national system. So why are some legislators like Camara Bartolotta, a Washington County Republican, proposing to scrap Pennsylvania's background check system?
I think the main issue is it's expensive. Since it was started 20 years ago, it's cost $90 million. And there's a $5 fee that a gun buyer would pay every time they go to a shop to make a purchase to have the background check run. And those fees are covering less than half of the cost for the state police to run the unit that's in charge of this. And so if the fee's not covering it, where does it come from? Well, it's everybody's tax dollars. And so this is an item where they say, well, you know, the federal government, the FBI, is running checks for most states already. In fact, Pennsylvania uses that system in addition to other databases that are searched just in the state. So why not go to what's free and what is used by everybody else? And the concern for some people, though, and including the state police, is that the checks here actually contain more records. They look at more protection from abuse orders. They also look at juvenile offenses, which would not be visible in the federal system. And so it's that tension between, you know, are we spending money where we have something that is duplicative at the federal level, or if we go to the feds, are we losing something there?
Right. And there clearly are concerns about safety. People don't feel that the federal background checks are as thorough or work as effectively as those done right here in Pennsylvania. And, you know, what price do you put on public safety, I think, is one of the big questions here. And we'll get into that. And also, let's look at the financing of this. Mm. And I'm sure when people hear that a gun purchaser has to pay an extra $5 for a background check, they have to be, I'm sure, scratching their head thinking, what is the big deal about that? Why don't they just raise that? But first, let's look at what you cited as the $90 million that's being spent to pay for Pennsylvania's instant check system for gun buyers. $90 million. Why does it cost so much? What does all that money cover?
Mm-hmm. So it's about $6 million a year. It varies depending on basically salary expenses. It's a phone bank at the state police where the shop calls up and says, hey, you know, here's someone who wants to buy a gun, run them, make sure they're clear. For a long, long time, it was just a phone bank. So you get put on hold and you have to physically talk to somebody. Now they actually have an internet system in addition to that where it's more automated and it also can be more efficient. But essentially, we're paying for state police salaries with that money.
And are these state police that are doing these background checks, is this a full-time job for them, or are they doing it in addition to other duties?
Well, so it's a bunch of different roles within that unit. Some folks are looking at, you know, if there's a compliance issue, if there's a challenge, hey, is this something that we just had kind of a false positive here? This person, you know, shouldn't be prohibited. Let's get them through. Or is this, you know, someone we really don't want to have a gun in it? And then in addition to that, there's the folks who are actually running the initial checks. So it's a variety of different sorts of roles.
So And each gun buyer, generally, the fee is $5. It's still $5, right?
So it's $2 if you're buying it, if you're just going to the shop for the check, you're not buying the gun from the shop, you know, say it's a gift or something like that. And if it's a taxable sale, then it's $5, right? And you know, for the 13 states that have their own systems, the fees really vary.
Pennsylvania is one of the lowest, right?
Pennsylvania is one of the lowest. It's $25 in Nevada. California is $20. New Jersey is $15. Virginia is $2 if you're a resident. It's $5 if you're out of state. So Pennsylvania is by no means on the high end here, although you have to look at the other states where they're relying on the FBI, of which there would be no fee except if the shop wants to charge something for doing the paperwork, which is also something that can happen. The shop owner can say, hey, you know, we're going through this process. State wants to charge $5, but, you know, I think this is worth $15 for my time. So it's not just what the state is charging. There's also other fees that might be involved, and guns themselves, as you mentioned, can be fairly expensive as well.
Right. And so what's a few more dollars, but the question then becomes, why not raise that fee? If the fees that are being charged now don't cover the cost of doing the background checks, and that's an issue for legislators who are looking at that and saying, why should the taxpayers be paying for this? Why not use a federal program that's already in place, already paid for? And there's the issue of how effective is one as compared to another. And the state system is, by far, the consensus seems to be that the state system works better. So why not raise the fee? Even if you double it, it does not cost as much as a fishing license or a boat or car registration.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think there you get to the issue of, hey, this is a constitutional right. You're not going to charge me for it. That's what I heard from several people. And I think the interesting thing is that there is already that free system. And so that sets up that you know, sort of choice between, hey, should we raise fees for something, or should we just go with what's already here and doesn't cost any money? You know, that's kind of the open question, and that's something that, you know, has not really been seriously addressed in Harrisburg. There hasn't been a hike to the fee since the program's existed. It's studied every 5 years. A report comes out and says, hey, the fees are inadequate. It's never a surprise. The report essentially says the same thing every year, says, you know, if it's $11, then we could be self-sufficient here. And there's never been any serious move to change that.
Has anyone prevailed upon the gun buyers and said, you know, as responsible gun owners, which a lot of these folks rightfully claim to be, that wouldn't it be in your best interest to ensure gun safety, which means ensuring that guns, which the NRA says they're all about, making sure that guns don't fall into the hands of the wrong folks. So why wouldn't you want to be proactive in that regard, even if it costs a little more money? What has the response been? Has that question been put to gun buyers, Jeffrey?
I mean, it's varied, right? Some people say $5, you know, that's not such a bad thing. I'm buying a $200, I'm buying a $1,000 gun, I'm buying a $20 box of ammo, $5, public safety improvement, not a problem. But then again, you get that argument, I'm not going to pay for constitutional right. And so it varies. You know, it's not like a gun buyer or a gun seller just has one particular mindset. But we have seen, I guess, a lot of folks who are just in general not happy with the system, regardless of even if they have to pay for it. I talked with a shop owner who said, yeah, $5 is fine, but I don't think the system works very well in terms of being efficient. So not saying
the state system.
Correct. Yeah. So not saying,
let's talk about the inefficiencies, because one of the complaints is that sometimes the system goes down. It takes it can take maybe what, 2-3 days sometimes in some cases.
It depends. I mean, there's outages that are not planned. Hey, there's maintenance, or hey, there's one of the databases, including the federal database, is down, so we can't process anything.
And this is perceived as a huge inconvenience?
The shop owners would say that. That's correct, yeah. And
because it affects their sales?
It affects their sales. I mean, if someone comes in and is going to buy a $1,000 gun, say, hey, sorry, we can't do the sale today, maybe they come back, maybe they walk away, and you don't get that money.
Interesting. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002 if you'd like to join our conversation with Jeffrey Benzing. He's with our content partner, Public Source, and he looked into the current legislative proposals out there, particularly coming from Republican Camara Bartolotta of Washington County. They are trying to get away from a state system of background checks, which has proven costly to taxpayers, and want instead to go with a national system, which is already paid for, but critics say may not be as efficient as the state system. 412-246 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. And the question we're putting out there to you, our listeners, is should the state of Pennsylvania conduct background checks on gun buyers, continue to do so at taxpayers' expense, or is relying on a federal system already in place a better idea? Does it promote safer public safety measures? Again, the number 412-246-2002. The pro-gun folks are anxious to push background checks on the feds, especially when the Pennsylvania State Police, which currently administers the background checks, as you have pointed out, Jeffrey, have routinely said that the national system is missing records and allows for less thorough investigations of red flags. What is the cause for complaint about the federal system? What is behind the missing records, or what are the red flags that are being missed here?
Well, so one thing that is important is that you would hope that the federal system would actually have everything in Pennsylvania. So if someone goes to West Virginia or Ohio, tries to buy a gun, if they have a problem here, it's going to pop up when they try to purchase elsewhere. There's the possibility of the two systems being identical in terms of being containing the same records, but we're not there right now. The state police say it'll be one, maybe 2 years before you can get things like juvenile records. So if somebody has a juvenile offense that would prevent them from getting a gun, right now that's not showing up in the national system. It will show up in Pennsylvania.
And I guess that I find that, I mean, I don't doubt you. It's obviously it's a problem, but there is already, when it comes to getting a driver's license, there's already a national database. If you are denied a license in one state, you are denied a license in every state. It may not show up right away, but it will show up. It will catch up with you. If there's a reason for your license to be revoked anywhere in the United States, it will be revoked everywhere in the United States. So why wouldn't this information be consolidated on a national database at the federal level, that the state would have access
right.
to?
You would certainly hope that it would. But as you mentioned with the U.S. Attorney General, I mean, basically what she was saying is that states that do this themselves often have records that are missing from the federal file.
This is what Loretta Lynch is pointing
Correct,
out.
Yeah. And the state police were saying, we're trying to get this there. What some of the folks who are skeptical of them have argued is, this has been going on for 20 years. Why have we not fixed this yet? And, it's a fair question. You would wonder why this wasn't done in, 1999. But the fact remains is that there are gaps, and they've been pointed at routinely. I mean, every time that this program is studied, it says, well, it's not paying for itself, and the system also has records that aren't in the federal file.
How did Representative Bartolotta respond when you asked her about the gaps?
She said she's been working with the folks at the FBI to make sure that there aren't any things that would be missing if they switch over. From her perspective, she was saying she didn't want the system to be less effective. She just thinks that it can be equal, not duplicative, and cheaper.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with our content partner, Public Sources reporter Jeffrey Benzing. We have lots of folks who have questions. We'll get to all of you, starting with Les in Hempfield. Hi, Les. Welcome. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Yes. I was wondering, how would it be able to solve the problem? Like, if we took it off of the state level into the Fed level, or would there be a chance to, like you were saying, bridge that gap between state to state? I mean, because you're unable to purchase a handgun from another state and bring it into our state anyway. So, I mean, the only limits that you have really are purchasing rifles, correct?
I'm not sure I exactly understand what you're saying, but I think you're saying something like if I were to go to Ohio and bring something, I'm not supposed to bring that in anyway. And I think there's a question of, you know, it's an open border. You can just drive down the highway, whether it's permitted or not. And to bridge the gap, though, between what's happening in the states talking to each other and talking to the federal government, there has to be a communication channel that is totally solid and is including everything. And if that's put in place, sure, we can all talk to each other, and it's equal information in West Virginia and Pennsylvania and New Jersey. We're not at that point right now, and it's good question why that hasn't been addressed fully, but that's sort of the reality at the moment.
Les, thank you for that call. Hopefully that answers your question. Jan on Twitter says, I pay for my own background check in order to work in a hospital. Shouldn't gun buyers pay for their own? I'm guessing, Jeffrey, that Jan is not the first person to bring this up.
Sure. Sure. I mean, you know, you go down for your even just for your driver's license, you pay money there. You pay money for a fishing license. You pay money for background check if you're just trying to be employed. It's a great question, and it rests sort of on how you view the Second Amendment. Do you think this is something that should be paid for? Is that a limit on it if you're having to fork over $1, $5, $20?
Well, if you use that same argument, okay, that it's my Second Amendment right to own a gun, so why should I have to pay for the background check? I mean, by that logic, why should you have to pay for the gun? You know, maybe that's part of your birthright to have one if you want one and not have to pay for it. Again, by that applying that logic, let's go to Ed, who is on the road apparently. Hi, Ed. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I was wondering why every time I buy a gun, I have to go through a background check. Since I have a carry permit, and I've already been vetted by the feds, and then two, why can't we make the carry permit federal so I can carry in every state, like when I go on vacation with my family?
Well, let's go with the first question, and it's actually a very good one. You're saying you're already a gun owner, you've already been checked, so there's some sort of record of your background in the system. I'm going to guess, Jeff, that the only reason why you, Ed, and stay on the line with us here, but my guess would be that the only reason why you would have to go through it again is if you did, they're concerned about something you might have done in the interim between purchases.
Right. So, I mean, it's essentially the answer is that's because of the way the law is written. You could potentially, you know, change it and say, hey, you know, he's been vetted. He's good as long as he has his permit current and nothing has happened in the meantime to disqualify that. I don't see any reason why that couldn't be the case, but it's not the way that the system is set up at the moment.
And the second question is what, Ed?
Wouldn't my carry permit be revoked had I committed a felony?
For example, what he's asking, I believe, is that if, for example, you received a protection from abuse order, in the interim, wouldn't that raise some sort of automatic red flag that would prevent him from getting a gun, at least in Pennsylvania?
Right. I mean, you would be prevented when the background check comes through. I'm not sure how it works as far as if it's automatic, if you have a permit and something goes through that should prohibit you, if that then, you know, they come say, hey, you can't have that anymore. I'm not sure. That's just not something I've looked into. But for the purposes of buying the gun, that would certainly prohibit you. And to your question about the carry permit at the federal level, that's a question for Congress. You know, is that something that could be made potentially nationwide, or are we going to have these different rules depending on what state you're in? And at this point, the states have quite a bit of leeway to set their own rules there.
And this is also why there is criticism of the federal system because a PFA might prevent an individual from getting a gun, but in another state, or if Pennsylvania began to rely on FBI background checks, the system might not even know about the order.
And a lot of orders do show up in the federal system. The thing, though, is that it's not
100%. Always.
It's not always. And that can be a big problem. And one thing I wanted to mention about the differences between the two systems is in Pennsylvania, the investigation period is 15 days. And if it's not resolved, you say, hey, we can't determine if this is actually a problem here. We're not sure if this person should have a gun or not. Then they're automatically barred from the purchase, which can be appealed. At the federal level, there's 3 days to do that same sort of investigation. And if it's inconclusive, the gun is sold, and then it's up to the ATF later on down the line. They have 3 months to then say, okay, we made a mistake here. We need to actually go get the gun. So that's a pretty big difference.
Huge difference. And again, people who are concerned about guns falling into the wrong hands or being owned by people who should not own them, i.e. those who've committed felonies, then that is a huge difference. And you could see why they would have a problem with the federal system. Let's go to Patrick in Pittsburgh with a comment. Hi, Patrick. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. This seems truly simple. The Republican from Washington County wants to save money, yet she never even considered raising the fees to take the burden off the taxpayers. Anybody ever ask her that?
Did you ask her that, Jeffrey?
She said there'd been enough money thrown at a system that she views as inefficient and duplicative. Doesn't think it's worth raising the fees.
Patrick, your thoughts?
I kind of missed that, but my thoughts are it doesn't sound like she's very thoughtful on the subject.
Yeah. Yes. And if you missed Jeffrey's answer, it was that she says enough money has been thrown at an inefficient system, and therefore the fees should not be raised. Patrick, thank you for that phone call. Where's this headed? Will the legislative movement to shift this, the background checks to the federal level, do you think they will gain some traction? I know that the folks like Democrat Dan Frankel are very much opposed to scrapping the state system, especially for reasons being given that it might delay gun sales. People saying, I don't want to have to wait 15 days.
Yeah, I think at this point there's not a lot of movement as far as the legislation to go straight to the feds. The thing that is an open issue and regardless of what happens is sort of the status quo is that it is costing a lot of money on taxpayers, right? So it's the question of do we want a system that pays for itself, or have we decided, you know, this is something that everybody pays for. It comes out of the same pot that I contribute to, you contribute to, or should it be the folks who want the guns pay for it?
That is the question, and the issue has been explored by our guest, reporter Jeffrey Benzing of our content partner Public Source. Jeff, as always, great thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Coming up, NASA's Juno spacecraft began orbiting Jupiter on Monday. What are scientists hoping to learn from the mission? We'll ask Point Park University astrophysicist Brendan Mullen. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.